Hello and welcome to the Road from Emmaus podcast. I'm Jason Lowe, joined by Andrew Chow, and we are two totally ordinary Catholic guys hoping to share our journeys. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we've each encountered Christ in our lives. Join us as we talk about what comes next. When priests get assigned to a new parish, it can be jarring and disappointing. Actually, wait, let me backtrack. You might not have even known that priests get assigned to new parishes on a regular basis, but now you know. So like I was saying, when priests get assigned to a new parish, it can be jarring for the parishioners and for the priest. Today, Andrew and I talk about what it must be like when priests get reassigned and why it's important for us to be able to let go. We touch on the virtue of obedience too. Remember to pray for your priests, deacons, and religious sisters. Did you know, you probably didn't know, so I'm going to be breaking news to you and probably our listeners. 2 weeks ago was the 2021 Canadian Podcast Awards. Did you know
that? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, honestly, when I first saw it pop up on my Twitter feed, because some of my sports podcasts got nominated for a thing, I was like, wow, that's, I mean, the podcast industry has really grown leaps and bounds in the last couple of years, true. Obviously. How long do you think until we're nominated for one of these?
My goodness, if we're nominated, that would be something else. We'll need to, you know, it'd be interesting if we got one of those like golden YouTube play buttons, like that would be really, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, we're both a video podcast and an audio podcast in case exactly. Anyone
we're just going to reel in all the awards soon. Stay tuned.
there's outstanding comedy series. There's outstanding, kids and family for series. Sure.
We'll be the comedy series for sure. Yeah.
outstanding debut for a series. I mean, that could be a thing. We're new. We're not even yet at our 1 year mark. But yeah, there's also outstanding news and current affairs. And using that, I think that's something we can transition off of for this particular episode. We want to share some news with our listeners in terms of something that's happened within the Archdiocese of where we're at. So we're both in Toronto. The Archdiocese of Toronto announced, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago that there would be the annual clergy changes. And so it's interesting because I think there are a fair amount of people who don't even really realize that this is something that happens every year where the Archdiocese reassigns priests around the Archdiocese to new parishes. Some of them get assigned to go study in Rome. Some of them just need to go on leave for whatever reason, personal reasons, health reasons. It's interesting because, you know, for a lot of, you know, lay Catholic people, they don't realize this is a thing until their own parish's priest is suddenly gone for whatever reason. And they're like, what just happened? Yeah. And so I think we wanted to use this episode to kind of share this news and maybe to share some awareness and spread some awareness about how this is a thing, really.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because, a lot of times we don't really notice until there's a priest that, not even the priest that moves from our parish, a priest that we like who moves from our parish.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes even if it's, you know, a priest where you're kind of like meh, then like, then a new priest comes in, you're like, okay, cool. You know, there's new blood. Great. But then when there's a priest that you really, really like, and it's like, oh my goodness, like, what am I going to do? my life's in shambles, you know, and that kind of a thing.
And there's a personal connection there that you establish with the pastor of your parish or the associate pastor of your parish. And I think that's a beautiful thing because it means you're, you know, developing a relationship with these priests who very much are called to develop these relationships with all of us who are their sheep. If you're interested in the list, right, just Google Archdiocese of Toronto clergy changes 2021. That should be the first thing that pops up. And you get the full list of all the priests. Again, announced April 30th, 2021, and I'm not going to go through the full list or anything, or I don't even know if we'll name any names, but there are definitely a few that we know, you know, whether it's personally from retreats and everything, whether it's because it's a parish that we've both attended. Actually, I think, both of us. So my home parish, St. Justin Martyr in Markham, the associate pastor, Father John Pack, he's being reassigned. And then in your parish, because you go to St. Michael's downtown.
St. Michael's cathedral. Yeah, basically, like, you know, last year and this year, it was like a full overhaul.
Although I think with St. Michael's, like, it's common for more priests to go through.
It's a little bit more, for sure. Yeah, at St. Mike's than most parishes. But yeah, definitely both of us are kind of coming across this right now. And it's an interesting thing, right? Because we're just by our nature as humans, like, we really like the comfort and the routine of things, right? Like, every Sunday I go and I see the same priest. Every time I go to the church, I see the same person, and we can continue that conversation, right? And it's jarring sometimes, right? That you have to now establish a new relationship. I know a lot of people can find that kind of tiring sometimes. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness, I need to meet someone new.
I remember as a kid, I went to a Chinese parish named Chinese Martyrs Catholic Church. And the head pastor there, had been there for, I don't know, I was a kid. So probably like, it was probably there for 10 years, 5 to 10 years. Sure. And it's not like I was like, it's not like I had developed a personal relationship with him or gotten to know him. Again, as a 10 to 13 year old, it's not like I had really delved into my faith to that level quite yet. But he was definitely very personable. You know, all the parishioners had always loved him. Whenever one of the things I loved about him was whenever he did peace at Mass, he would actually come down from the altar and, like, mingle with the parishioners at the front couple pews and, like, just shake hands with them and everything. Very personable, always good, and everyone always loved him. And so when he was reassigned, again, this was probably my first experience where actually... I'm glad you brought up that it's a priest that you like, because I'm pretty sure it's happened before with other priests at that parish, but then I didn't really notice or pay attention until this particular priest, who I did like, was reassigned. I was like, where did he go? Where is he going? Why is he going? And so, yeah, it's interesting. You know, we talked about, you know, developing a relationship or just liking a particular priest, developing a connection. And I think we want to, let's just go into the perspective here of, you know, what must it feel like, I wonder, to be the priest, a priest, right? And to be reassigned, like, what do you think is going on there?
I think it's crazy. Because if you think about it, there's almost, it's a beautiful thing, but it's such a difficult thing at the same time, because there's this constant knowledge of almost, this impermanence to what you do, right? In some senses. You always know that tomorrow you could be asked to move. Even though these assignments are done annually, it doesn't have to be, right? The cardinal could just say, hey, you know, I need you somewhere else because someone's sick. So you need to go and spend the next 3 months over and wherever. And you just got to do it. Because part of the thing with being a priest is one of the vows is of obedience, right? So your superior is, you know, when they give you your obedience, or when they tell you what, you know, where you're going to go, you obey. That's kind of it, right? So I think, you know, it's that never quite knowing exactly what's going to happen until the announcement's made also gives you kind of an impetus to always put your best foot forward, right? It's not like, oh, you know, I have 5 years and I can, you know, let this thing kind of mature slowly on its own. It's kind of like, okay, like, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to put my best foot forward so that the time that I spend here is as fruitful as it can be. So I think that side of it can be quite nice. But on the other side, you know, if any of us, even if it's not in the ministry, ministry kind of sense, there's a word there. You know, if we're in the middle of something and then we're told, hey, you don't get to finish it, it's a little bit kind of like, oh man, like, I had big plans, you know, that's kind of like unfinished business. And I think it kind of, you know, gets everyone a little bit sad, and then you don't really want to move on, but it's an interesting spot to be in.
I think, I'm glad you mentioned the whole 5 years thing, because it's kind of like it's not really a standard. Like you said, it could happen. It's really at the whim of the archdiocese or at the cardinal, whatever he sees the need across the archdiocese. But, you know, I guess if we had to put like a rule of thumb, often it's kind of like, you know, pastors and associate pastors will be at a parish for around 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And over that length of time, like we said a couple times already, you do develop relationships with parishioners. You get spiritual directees. You participate in, again, ministries like, you know, young adults ministries or Bible studies or RCI, whatever it is, right? All these different things and programs that we have in our parishes. And you get to know these people on a personal level. You understand. You have to think about what happens when you're in a place like a church, right, where these are people coming to you as a priest for things like confession, for things like spiritual direction, where they are bearing their souls to you.
Yeah.
And often in a way that these people don't bear their souls to anyone else, right?
Yeah.
You see the most vulnerable parts of these people. And, you know, whether it's within the sacrament of reconciliation, whether it's within something like spiritual direction or just a chat, right?
Mm-hmm.
You really get to know these people in a very special, unique way. And, you know, every human, every single human being, you know, they're not, that's going to be a natural development of a relationship. And it has to be some kind of, I feel like it would definitely be a really tough kind of separation to have to swallow. And like you said, you know, we're going to dive into it later, but the virtue of obedience, no pun intended, but by virtue of having to obey, it means you can't say no, right? It means you can't say no. And as tough as it is to walk away from these people that you've come to love, come to know, you just have to do it.
And, you know, even just kind of really doubling down on that point, it's not even kind of a case where by matter of circumstance, people will happen to develop relationships. It's very much core to the vocation of the priesthood, right? So particularly when you are at a parish, your call is to pastor the people, meaning essentially to be a spiritual father, to shepherd these people, right? I've heard one priest describe it as a particular freedom of being a priest, where because he's not kind of limited to that full spousal love only with that one significant other, he can love everyone with that same kind of level of spousal intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's really what pastoring is. Like the same way that a father is being a shepherd for his children, this priest is being a spiritual father, and that necessitates loving the sheep, right? You have to love them in an individual way in order to pastor them, right? So it's not just like, oh, by matter of circumstance, the priest will happen to get to know some people. It's kind of more of the priest's job is to love everyone at their parish intimately like that.
Yeah.
And then 5 years in, you kind of uproot them, or however many years in, you kind of uproot them and bring them somewhere else to do that with another group of people. So it's definitely tough.
So a question that just came to mind, and, you know, hope I'm not putting you on the spot or anything, because I literally just came to my mind. Like, why not, right? Like, why not just keep our priests at our parishes for 20 years or something, right? Like, there's so much fruit. We talk about intimate relationships, and, you know, you and I both know, and our listeners all know, that the most intimate relationships are the ones that simply just stay sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That stay with you through 5 years, through 10 years, through 15 years. You know, by the time you and I are both 60, hopefully we'll still know one another, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Why not just have a priest stay at a parish for that length of time to truly be able to develop, you know, such an intimate relationship with his parishioners?
Yeah, I think there's a number of reasons that come to mind for me. One of them really is just that relationship can both be beneficial and harmful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is to say that sometimes, you know, we need to think about what's the purpose of the pastoral relationship, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the priest is meant to be shepherding people towards God. The reality is oftentimes people just fall in love with the priest.
Yeah.
And not fall in love with God, right? And so this, in some senses, forces us to kind of break that up and shake that up, right? So that's one side of it. Another side really, and this might be just kind of going back a little bit in time traditionally, is that knowledge wasn't always so readily available. It wasn't always so easy to pass knowledge back and forth around kind of different areas. And so for priests, you know, their upkeep of knowledge is also very important, right? Their kind of upkeep in knowledge of the faith and knowledge of dogma and kind of growing in their own faith is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have priests that are being sent to Rome to study and different things like that. And priests that are kind of mingling with each other and talking to each other and going to different parishes and meeting with different areas, because it's important that they also grow spiritually so that they can also better shepherd the people, right? If you're stuck in one community, let's say you're stuck in, I don't know, Orangeville, right? Not to call it Orangeville, but it's, you know, a smaller area, right?
Orangeville.
And, anyways, so let's say you're in a smaller community, right? You're in some hamlet somewhere, and kind of the community there looks to you as the spiritual master of the community, right? That's going to be really probably limiting for that priest in terms of their growth, right? Yeah. And so kind of moving around to going to different places, meeting new people and kind of being fed that way will also help the priest to be a better pastor, I think.
I think that's a really, those are two really good points, I think, because yeah, when you're staying in one spot, you hear from the same people all the time. Eventually you create your own echo chamber, right? And yeah, an echo chamber will limit you from the exposure that you get, the learning that you get. And, you know, this is speaking in very practical terms, but at the same time, it's a truth, I think. And that's a very good point that you've pointed out. And I really like the part about forcing you to almost kind of sever those relationships in the name of understanding that the faith is not about the priest that is celebrating Mass for you every week. Yeah. The faith is about following Jesus Christ. And, you know, listen to our last probably five episodes about the interior life to understand that a bit more. But, you know, you and I have both mentioned that I already mentioned Father John Pack at my parish in St. Justin here in Markham. It's not Father John that I am following in this Catholic life. It's not Cardinal Thomas Collins in the Archdiocese of Toronto. It's not Father Mike Schmitz or Bishop Barron, who we've both cited. It is Jesus Christ. And, you know, as much as we might love these people who have certainly been guideposts in terms of pointing us towards Jesus, as much as we have become attached to them, there's a certain level of attachment that we shouldn't have, I think. And that kind of impermanence that you already pointed out, I think, is important for us to grasp, because everything in this life, not just our relationship with our priests, but everything in this life, there is a certain amount of impermanence that we have to be able to internalize, because nothing in this life is as permanent as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is really the only thing that should be permanent.
Yeah. And even, you know, kind of to continue off of that, right? I think it's going to be really tough to find, I guess, fulfillment in your faith until you start moving towards that point. I definitely heard people, talk about going to different Mass and thinking like, oh man, I didn't really learn much from that priest, right? Or, oh man, like, you know, this that Mass didn't really do it for me.
Or they'll say, I didn't get much out of that Mass kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? If you're focused on what you're learning from the priest, you're always going to feel that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you go. You know, even the best preachers aren't going to always have gems. You know, it's just the reality of things. It's like, you go and you're like, oh man, that priest had an off week. I guess, you know, I just don't need to learn anything this week, you know? And then you just kind of get left in that state. But, you know, when we get to the point where we start to just pursue the good, you know, we start to just look for beauty, and that beauty being Jesus, right? That helps us to kind of get out of that state and say, you know what, like, there are going to be times when the homily is beautiful and that's something that I should really focus on. Mm-hmm. And there are times when it's not going to be. But the question for me should be, you know, am I focused on the homily or am I focused on God? And so this is something that I've actually noticed for myself really recently, because I've been going kind of from book to book for a little bit and just trying to find a spiritual reading that, like, I really love again, right? Because I've, you know, over the course of last year, I've had different books that have really done it for me. And then over the last month or two, I've just been like, I don't know, I'm not really getting into this one, really getting into this one. And I realized literally today is like, you know what? Like, I'm so focused on whether or not I get something from the book that I've stopped thinking about going towards God. Yeah. The whole point of it should be going towards God. In the same way that the whole point of the priest pastoring me should be about going towards God, I've been so focused on the books that I'm just looking for the next book and not looking for God in all of it. So I think it's the same deal here, right? You know, when we find ourselves in those moments, and this isn't to criticize anyone and say like, hey, you suck for doing that. Like, we all feel that way. We're like, hey, you know, where am I going to go to Mass? What Mass am I going to watch today? Right? Oh, hey, you know, this
it's totally natural.
Exactly. And that's fine. And there's a good reason for that, right? Because there are better homilists out there, and they are probably doing a better job of speaking the truth, right? It's all true. And they're good things, and it's good to kind of move towards those, but it's also good to kind of remind ourselves that the point shouldn't be about that person. The point should be about the truth that they're speaking, right?
We've gone on a bit of a tangent here, but I do think it's important to point this out, just because it's good to understand, right? To as a reminder that these are people pointing us towards Christ and not the people we are worshiping, right? Mm-hmm. And just as a final point, as much as there are good homilists or whatever, or interesting people who speak interesting in an interesting way, I guess that was definitely one of my fears. Okay, now this is a real tangent, but that was one of my insecurities when I was discerning to become a priest. It was like, how can I be someone who speaks in an interesting way when I can barely put together a coherent sentence, and then be expected to be on a pulpit? But when I was discerning to become a priest, I realized that, you know, we all have different gifts, obviously. And for me, my gift would probably be leaning more towards one-on-one conversations, trying to be pastoral, helping someone out in terms of giving them advice, et cetera, as in the capacity of a priest. And so that helped me a bit in terms of giving me a bit more comfort towards that discernment. Now, obviously, I'm not doing that anymore in terms of the discernment, but I think that's something important to remember, that you know, priests are not reduced to how well spoken they are when they deliver their homilies.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's just a quick reminder there. But let's move back here to the whole reassignment piece.
Yeah.
We've spoken so much about relationships, and I'm curious what you think on the matter of whether or not priests should leave their previous relationships behind, or if they should keep them.
That's a good question. I think it's kind of neither here nor there, honestly. The big question I think that I would ask is it getting in the way of your primary vocation, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, like, you know, whether you move to a new community or not, it's not to say that you need to shed those previous relationships, but more to the point, these are the sheep that are currently entrusted to you.
Exactly. Right?
And also, you know what, like the ones that are in the previous parish are now entrusted to a different pastor. Exactly. So I think there's a level of humility there where, like, you know what, you probably shouldn't cling to the relationships in that way. But there are going to be friendships that still last, right? And I think that's totally fine. So I don't think it's necessarily a, like, should you continue it or not, but more of a, are you focused on your new parish or not, right?
I think that's the perfect way of answering that question, because I was speaking with a couple priests, and one of them was saying that, like, you know, his perspective is more so towards what you were just expanding on, how he now has a new herd of sheep or a new congregation of people to minister after. Yeah. And minister towards. And certainly there's no reason to expect that the previous congregation can't be ministered by the incoming priest or anything, right? Yeah. Like, these are all God's people. These are all people who God has appointed to take care of his sheep. So not to reiterate what you just said, but that was definitely something he was more kind of hard and fast on. But I think the most important thing is that, like, it's not a black and white kind of rule. It's not binary, right?
No.
I think if it is getting in the way of your ability to fulfill your vocation, to minister towards your new congregation of people, maybe if it's, it might even tempt you towards sin in a way of, like, you know, you're being too attached, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's leading you towards pride, right? You spoke about humility. All of those things, if the answer to those things is yes, then yeah, maybe there's more of a reason to sever those relationships and burn those bridges, but it doesn't necessarily have to be binary, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think it's necessarily so drastic as, like, severing the relationship necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a pause, right? Because there are healthy pauses, right? There's going to be a healthy way to say, like, hey, I think for you right now, it's better for us to not have this same level of communication, because you need, like, there's something you need to receive from this new priest that's in your parish, kind of a thing, right? And, like, you can't just focus on me, you know? And that might be a good kind of challenge for the parishioner in terms of a pastoring thing to do, right? So, man, that could still be a thing to pass to that person and say, hey, you're too focused on me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You know, I have a new group that I need to look at, and you have a new priest that you need to learn from, right? So I think at the end of the day, from both sides, whether looking at it from the priest's point of view or looking at it from a parishioner's point of view, the question always has to be, you know, why am I holding on to this? Is it just a good spiritual friendship that I want to continue for good reasons? Just like, it's not that I'm looking for him to be my pastor, but just like, hey, we have a good relationship that I don't want to lose. That could be a good thing and that could be totally fine. Or is it, you're the only person I think that can pastor me? In which case, like, you know, maybe it's not as good.
So we bring that up because, you know, if you are in a situation where, you know, maybe it's this year, maybe it's a future year where someone that you're particularly attached to who is a priest is leaving your parish, or maybe it's a spiritual director or something and they've been reassigned. You know, it can be a tough thing to swallow, for sure. Absolutely, yeah. Ken. No one is diminishing that fact or that possibility. It's just a reflection of the beautiful relationship that you built. But at the same time, you know, the end of the world is not here, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who is at the center of our lives. So I think that's just a reminder that we wanted to kind of tease out there.
Yeah, totally.
So we mentioned the virtue of obedience earlier, mm-hmm. and I think it'll be interesting to kind of dive into that. I was speaking with a priest a couple of weeks ago on the topic of obedience, and I was just running by him, kind of ruminating on this news of the Archdiocese clergy reassignments. And I was like, I think priests are, I'm sure I'm biased in some way, but I think priests are the people in this world who have to live out the virtue of obedience the most. And it was interesting. It was incredible, I think, for me to think about, just because everything that they do goes back to the virtue of obedience. The priest actually agreed with me, and I'm sure he's biased, but he was telling me that, like, you know, even if you think about the way the Mass is said, right, he has to follow the rubric, he has to follow the sayings, or else there's a risk that the Mass itself is invalid or illicit. And, you know, even beyond the Mass, this example that we're bringing up of being reassigned, again, he has no say whether or not he's moving from one parish to the other. It's kind of just, you know, there's no oh, but like, I'm still in the middle of like this RCIA program, or I'm still in the middle of this parishioner who is going through a really tough time. There's really rarely any kind of exception made in this kind of circumstance. You just have to pack up your bags and go, which can be tough. Again, this can be a tough thing to swallow, but it truly is incredible to think about when we think about how much priests have to follow the virtue of obedience.
Yeah, you know, I think I would add a qualifier there from my perspective. I think priests probably have to live the most or have to follow this virtue the most explicitly, but I don't think they have to follow it the most necessarily. Mm. Because I think that there are lots of vocations, and at the end of the day, all of them really are grounded in the virtue of obedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you think about marriage, right? So for myself, you know, I've discerned into marriage. I'm getting married in a couple months, mm-hmm. and that's weird to say out loud. And then at the end of the day, there is an element here of, am I being docile to God's will? Am I being obedient to where I ought to go? Or am I imposing my own will? So there's a level of kind of, it's less explicit, definitely, than in the priestly life. But another one, too, that's a little bit more directly comparable is the religious life, right? Because for brothers and sisters, you know, who are living in religious communities, they also have quite a bit of obedience, especially if I think of cloistered communities, right? Which basically means communities that live behind closed doors and are basically closed off to the public. They live very rigid lives, right? Where, you know, the virtue of obedience is to the hour, right? Almost more so than in the way priests kind of approach their day-to-day life in the diocesan priesthood, right? So I think, you know, to a degree, yes, I would agree that, you know, there's as much more explicit than a lot of other people, but I wouldn't go as far as to say that they live out obedience more than any other person.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair. And like I said, I'm probably being biased, but it's definitely just thinking about the example that I was going through was just, you know, some priests have their vacations booked, and I mean, you know, vacations are vacations, and they're for leisure and whatever, but he just got reassigned kind of in the middle of it, so not even part of the annual reassignment, as part of like what was announced on April 30th. But he just had to scrap his vacation plans. And he couldn't even kind of use that as an excuse to be like, I think there was an arrangement made maybe where like he could at least kind of delay it. It was still slightly inconvenient, but it wasn't as bad. But definitely, you know, just thinking through, and again, this priest also saying that like, you know, everything that he does, and maybe he just feels it more than anyone else, just feels like he's following the virtue of obedience quite a bit. Yeah. But ultimately, I think it's examining how priests have consecrated themselves to God, right? And you brought up the example of the vocation of marriage. Their spouse is the church, right? Their spouse is the church, their parish, and us as their parishioners. And we kind of briefly touched on this earlier. And so, like you said, like we all have to be obedient to our spouses. And I think your point is totally true. But like in a marriage, we do kind of have leeway to say no, or we can at least say later, right?
Right. So I think my point is really what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, I don't want that to sound like a free pass in the laity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, at the end of the day, you know, there is something that we ought to be obedient to as well. And you know, in some senses, it's harder because it's less obvious.
Exactly.
And there's a lot more kind of examination of conscience to understand, you know, when am I being obedient and when am I imposing my will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying later because I have good reason to, but I'm still obeying? Or am I saying later because I don't want to do it? And you know what? At the end of the day, even though like you can, you know, that is being disobedient, really, mm-hmm. right? And you know, there's no kind of making excuses for it. And it's not to say that you're going to hell for disobedience in the same way, but it's disobedient. So in the same way, you know, we are called to strive for virtue in the same way as priests, and we're held to kind of that same standard at the end of the day. You know, it's not like, you know, we the last things, right? It's not like when we die and we're at the judgment table, God says, okay, wait, are you priests or not, and pulls out a different list depending on, you know, at the end of the day we're judged as humans, right? So that's my only point. Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to say, because I know we're getting close to probably being a time here, is that for some people, you might think of your parish, and one that comes to mind is St. Agnes Sao Church in Markham. I don't know how to say it in English. Where, you know, the priests there tend to be there for a lot longer. So there is a distinction between essentially two types of priests, you know. There are more, but, you know, as a broad kind of distinction, we have diocesan priests, which really you can think of as localized priests in a particular area, and religious priests, so priests who have made vows into a particular religious order. Some of the more notable ones that you hear about are the Jesuits, so the Society of Jesus. You hear about the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, so OMI. You hear about Opus Dei. These are some that kind of have come up. Franciscans, Carmelites. These are different orders that you hear about every now and again. And so the biggest difference really is who you receive your obedience from, who is your superior that you receive your orders from. So if you're a diocesan priest, it will be your bishop or archbishop, depending on if you're in a diocese or archdiocese. And then in our case in Toronto, the archdiocese's bishop is the cardinal, right? Mm-hmm. So the Archbishop of Toronto is Thomas Cardinal Collins. And so he gives the kind of the direction for the diocesan priests of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Within the Diocese of Toronto, there are certain parishes that are entrusted to religious orders, such as St. Agnes, which is entrusted to a Taiwanese religious order, I believe. And then kind of the superior in their order will give kind of the direction for who goes where.
Mm-hmm.
And these can be a lot more far reaching. So you can, in a lot of these orders are kind of global. So you can have people who are in Toronto one year and then in Singapore the next, kind of a deal. So it can be a little bit even more jarring rather than like moving. So Father John, I think, is moving from Markham to Mississauga. So it could be that local for the diocesan setting. But for the religious setting, it can be quite a bit further.
Father, the Father John that you're referring to in St. Mike's is John Sitka.
Father John Sitka is going to Saga. I think, isn't Father John Pack also going to
Father Saga? John Pack is going to Bradford.
Bradford, I'm so sorry, I'm wrong.
It's outside of Toronto, they're all the same. thank you for that. Thank you for that enlightening bit of information. Because it's easy to confuse. In fact, people probably aren't even aware that like the priests at St. Agnes Chogwen.
I think.
Anyway, Sal, obviously the priest at St. Agnes. Some people probably aren't even aware that they belong to a religious order and that they're not diocesan priests. So, that was definitely a good. Did you know? Now you do know. I think this whole episode is just, you know, on the back of this news that there are clergy reassignments across Toronto as of April 30th. They're going in effect, most of them, end of June. Yeah. So, you know, if you look up this list and you see a priest that you recognize or that you're familiar with, there's probably still a chance for you to say bye to them or wish them well or et cetera, et cetera. Some of them are retiring. I think I forgot to mention that as another reason off the top. Just, you know, show some appreciation, show some love to your priests and obviously the other religious as well. So your deacons, your sisters, these are people who have consecrated themselves to the service of God, right? Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely an argument to be made, at least, that it's a kind of a quote unquote more inconvenient life in terms of our modern world. But at the same time, I think that's probably, it's a good thing because it just brings them closer to God. So that's probably something that we're all called to. But yeah, show some appreciation to them. And, you know, we are definitely going to keep the priests that have been named as reassigned in our prayers. And we ask that you keep them in your prayers as well as all vocations, I think, because, the harvest needs laborers. And, you know, there are two guys on this podcast who are discerning into marriage, hopefully for me at least. So that's two less that can discern into priesthood.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know what, if you're in a parish where you are losing a priest who you've loved, that's okay. You know, pray for that priest. Pray for the priests coming in as well. And you know what? Yeah. If we can ask one thing, rather than comparing the two priests, look for the good in the new priest. Just, you know, from a blank slate, look for what good is this new priest going to bring into your life? Because that might make it a little bit easier to kind of keep going forward and building a new relationship.
Yeah, that's great. Don't compare. Fight. Like, it'll be your instinct, I'm sure, but don't do it. It's it never benefits anyone, really. So.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's going to be a wrap for us this time. Thanks for listening, and you'll catch us in a couple weeks.
Bye, everyone.